God bless you, and thank you. You may be seated this morning.
All right, before I get going any further, let's just bow before the Lord. Lord, I love you and I thank you for who you are. God, I pray and I thank you for just our time together today, Lord. God, I pray and I thank you that we have the opportunity to gather to worship you. Lord, I pray and I ask this. I pray and I ask that you would just please be with this time as we look to your word and we look to hear truth from you. Lord, might the word that we receive today be that which will minister to the needs that we have. Might it be the word that equips us, Lord. Lord, even if we receive a word today and it creates questions for us, Lord, help us not to be scared of that because, Lord, that's you inviting us into dialogue with you. And so, Lord, might we even begin to understand that these questions that we might have raised within us are for us to come to you and come to another brother or sister, and that's how we can learn more, Lord. God, I pray and I ask that you would hear this prayer. I pray and I ask that, Lord, through everything that we've done today, again, if there's somebody who's yet to accept that you actually really do love them. And you don't need them to do anything for you to love them. And you have revealed that you love them through your son Jesus coming and through your son Jesus laying down his life. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would accept that. And along with that, they would receive the forgiveness and the healing that you promised, Lord, that they would receive your spirit. I pray and I ask these things in the mighty resurrected name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. We are in this series in Acts where we've been looking at simple truths from the early church, but even more specifically, what we've been doing over the last several weeks is looking at these messages of hope that we receive that they proclaim to desperate people. And today's message of hope is this, is that God not only gave us Jesus, he also gave us the Holy Spirit. Right? God not only gave us Jesus, but God gave us the Holy Spirit. And as we come to this message, I just want to think about what people are desperate for. And I think about this, people who are outside of relationship with God, who have yet to trust Jesus, they're desperate to be able, and we know this, they're desperate to be able to know that they can do something that pleases God. We know this through every world religion. People are trying to do that which pleases God. Now, some people are not living their lives that way. Don't get me wrong. Some people are not living their lives that way, or some people wouldn't even articulate it that way. See, some people, their God is not the God of heaven. Their God is the God of success. And so what do I need to do to please and to appease the God of success? To some, their God is not the God of heaven. Their God is the God of pleasure. What do I need to do so that I can live my life so that all I can experience is ease and pleasure and security? Are y'all tracking with this? See, sometimes we miss it because we don't name the gods the right way that people have named them. And people will say, well, I don't believe in a God. Well, no. You have something, or you're pursuing something. Some people, the God is knowledge and intellect, and they don't want to look like one of those buffoons who would believe in a miracle, right? And so they're pursuing that. Even as we talked about like last week, and politics are important, but some people, their God is politics. And getting this world set straight through human governance. And cannot understand that that's never going to happen. We are not going to be the ones who set the world right. Our hope is that Jesus is going to return and he will set the world right. It will be under his governance that this world will be set free. And so sometimes when we talk about this, we say people are trying to please and appease God. You go, no, they're not. They're not trying to please and appease God who's revealed in the Bible. You're like, you're right. They're trying to please and appease some idol, some God of their imagining, some God of their making. I think about this, and this will be the last thing that I say about this. I think about those people who have striven, the athlete who's gotten to the highest mountain. The business person who's gotten all the money in all the world. I mean, I just want to ask y'all a question. Is Musk satisfied with the billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that he has? He's not satisfied. Michael Jordan, even at his Hall of Fame speech, had a chip on his shoulder. There wasn't like this profound, overwhelmed gratitude for what he's seen and experienced in life. He was still trying to like prove himself. Now, I don't know about his faith in the Lord or anything like that. I just know that that was a marker to me that success in the athletic world was your God. And you got it, and what did it do? It still didn't satisfy. It still didn't fill. And I want to say this because continue to run up against in Scripture is that we think we have to do something to satisfy God, and God says, no, you don't have to do anything to satisfy me to get my love. You don't have to do a certain work or a ritual to receive my love. And in fact, the brokenness of humanity, I believe, is that we're always striving to get something that we will not compute, that will not naturally compute with us. We are striving to get something that we never have to strive for in the first place. We don't have to strive for God to give us Jesus. He did that on his own initiative. We don't have to strive for Jesus to lay down his life. Jesus did that on his own initiative. We don't have to strive to receive the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and he breathes it out to people, everyone who trusts in the name of Jesus. So, this morning, I want us to know there are people who are desperately wanting to know what they have to do to receive God, either the God of heaven revealed in the Bible, who is the express image is Jesus. What can I do to satisfy or please God so that I can be blessed of God? And if it's not that God, whatever God that they're chasing after, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? What work do I need to do? And this is why we have this great tenet of our faith. You are saved by grace, not of your works. Not of your works, lest any man should boast. And so this morning, I want us to see that God not only gave us Jesus, he gave us, gifted us, gave us. We didn't work for it. He gave us his Holy Spirit. And I believe that this is a good message to people who are desperately striving to please or appease God so that they can get something of God. And it invites us to say, you don't have to do anything except the truth that God has for you. And then the other thing is, there's people who trust God, follow Jesus, who are filled with the Spirit, who are desperately thinking that they need to do X, Y, and Z if they're going to be able to witness to somebody, and their witness is going to have power and authority. And I want you to know that whenever you go out and you do the good work that God calls us to do, and you speak even simple truths in the name of Jesus, it's not your power, it's not your authority, it's not your persuasion. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit that is witnessing far beyond what you can say. And so I want you to be encouraged with that. So with that, I want us to pick up in Acts chapter number 5, and we're going to look at we're going to pick up in verses 29 through 32. And real quickly, just to set the context, last week we saw that the apostles, they had been arrested, and then they had been sternly warned not to preach in the name of Jesus. Well, they were out there preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus in the temple court, and they got arrested again, and they got thrown in jail. And in the middle of the night, an angel of the Lord came and let them out of jail, and they went back to the temple because they practiced nonviolent resistance, and they said, you can tell us all day long not to preach in the name, but we're going to obey God rather than men, right? And so they said, so they went back to the temple courts and they were teaching there again. They wake up, the religious leaders, the authorities of their day, wake up, find them not in the jail. And somebody says, they're back in the temple doing it. They're disobeying us. Can you believe it? The nerve of these guys, the gumption of these guys. And so then they come and they arrest them again and they bring them back before them. And they said, did we not tell you not to proclaim the name of Jesus? And then Peter and the apostles, we pick up reading here, verse 29, answered, they said, we must obey God rather than human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. But God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. This is what we're witnesses. We are the ones coming and telling the truth about who Jesus is. You said that the wrong thing about him. We're telling the true thing about him. We are witnesses of this. And I love this last part. And he says, and so is who? The Holy Spirit, whom God has what? Given to those who what? Obey him. Here's what I want us to see about this obedience here. This obedience is an interesting thing because this is the thing that people think, what do I need to do to please God? Oh, you got to obey God. Well, what do you mean obey God? Well, Jesus tells us what we can do in obedience to God. In John chapter number 6, after feeding the 5,000, y'all know what happens the next day? Jesus and his disciples, that night, his disciples got into a boat and they went to the other side of the sea. And there was a storm. Jesus was watching them and then he walked on the water and then he rescued them from the storm and they ended up on the other side of the sea. The people wake up the next morning and they're like, where's Jesus? We never saw Jesus leave. And then somebody says, oh, he's on the other side of the sea. And they said, oh, he's on the other side of the sea. So people start running along the shoreline. They start, they get in boats and they go to the other side of the sea. And they go to find Jesus and look, and I bet they thought, oh, he's going to be so proud of us that we came and found him. And they show up and they say, Jesus, we found you. And they said, when did you get over here? And here's what Jesus responds to them. Jesus says to them, and I think, hold on, this is next. Jesus says, you only came out to me because I fed your bellies yesterday. He said, but if you receive the food that I really have to give you, you'll never go hungry again. And then they respond to Jesus and they said, what must we do to perform the works of God? The question that everybody asks, if you're chasing the God of athletic success or business success or the God of pleasure or the God of the Bible, people ask the question, what do I do to please God? It's a desperate question. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, answered them, and he said, this is the work of God, that you what? And who? Who's him? Jesus. Believe in him whom he has sent. He's being a little coded there, but who was the one that he sent? Jesus. This is the work. You believe in the one whom he has sent. So obeying God, first and foremost means trusting and following Jesus. That's what you're doing. You're trusting that Jesus is the revelation of God's love for you. And Jesus is the life that is approved of God. And I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to believe that Jesus can do for me what athletic success cannot do. I'm going to believe Jesus can do for me what business success cannot do. I'm going to believe that Jesus can do for me what addiction cannot do for me. I'm going to believe that Jesus can do for me what having the best family and the most put-together kids could do for me. Jesus is going to satisfy every longing of my heart. Jesus is going to make me live the life that is the good life, the Zoe life, the abundant life. So whenever Peter says, obey Jesus. I know a lot of people go, what do I need to do? Or to obey God, we get the Spirit. What do I need to do to get the Spirit? You don't do anything. You believe in Jesus. You trust in Jesus. And through trusting that Jesus is the one whom God has given us to reveal to us his love, he's the one whom God has given us to order our lives. When you believe that, and you trust that, that's point number one. For those who are desperately trying to do something to please and appease God, all you have to do, what all God's inviting us to do, is believe in his son, the one he has sent. So when Peter was telling them, you need to, the Spirit has come to all those who are obeying God, what he's also saying to the Sanhedrin, you're not in obedience to God right now because you've rejected Jesus. Second point. In obeying God, we are gifted the Holy Spirit who empowers us to live like Jesus. See, what can I do to do the works of God? Well, I need to believe in Jesus. Why do I believe in Jesus? So then I can get the Spirit, so then now I can do, I am empowered to live like Jesus. That's why Paul would say in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit. What the Spirit bears in your life is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, temperance, meekness. Long-suffering and patience are in there too, right? He says that the Spirit fills you with the power so that you can actually live the life that is pleasing unto God. And when you live the life that is pleasing unto God, what do you become? You become a witness. And this is something that people are desperate about. How am I going to get my aunt or my best friend or my coworker or somebody that I love to know who Jesus is? What words do I need to say? How do I articulate it? Or I feel so overwhelmed. I wanted to say something, but I couldn't say something because I thought I would say the wrong thing. And I just kept my mouth shut. Have you ever felt like any one of those things? And Peter says, we're not here witnessing ourselves. The Holy Spirit is witnessing too. And what does Paul say in Corinthians? He says, we don't trust that we're the ones who are producing the fruit. He says, we trust it's like this. One person plants a seed, one person waters it, and God gives the increase. Peter's saying the same thing. Hey, we're talking to you, but we know that us talking to you is going to be of little use unless you hear the word of the Spirit. The voice of the Spirit. And so this is our last thing. If for those of you who might be desperately anguished over your witness, let go of that anguish, because you do not witness on your own. You don't witness on your own authority. You don't witness in your own wisdom. The Spirit provides that. And when we can believe, when we can trust that the Spirit is with us and the Spirit will lead us, we can breathe. And we can say, we don't have to say all the things. We can say a simple thing. And guess what? It's not on you by yourself, because you're not the only witness in that person's life. If you think you're the only witness in that person's life, don't be deceived, don't be deluded, and don't be dismayed, because you are not. Because God loves everybody, every last person on this earth, and he is pursuing everybody. He does that through his Spirit. We've seen Muslim people come to know who Jesus is through dreams and visions. He does it through his Spirit. He does it miraculously. He does it through people who are filled with his Spirit, and they're all over this world. He can do it through a song. He can do it through scripture. He can do it through a movie, because the Spirit blows wherever the Spirit wants to blow. And with that, I'm going to say to my brothers and my sisters, the message of hope to the desperate people who say, what do we do to please and appease God? Oh, what you do is you believe in Jesus. You trust in Jesus. You accept who Jesus is. To those of us who have trusted in Jesus and we go, I'm supposed to be a witness and it's overwhelming. No, you can witness. But it's not you who's witnessing alone. And you're not witnessing in your own authority or your own wisdom. You're witnessing in the authority and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, you are witnessing, but the Spirit is also witnessing with us. And with that, I say this morning, amen. Amen. Will you go to the Lord in prayer with me?